The good news of God's love according to Matthew. After the Magi had left Bethlehem, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. You might notice that the opening chapters of the Gospel of Matthew always focus on Joseph, the father of Jesus. He makes all of the decisions that govern the life of Jesus. He decides to marry his pregnant fiancée and adopt her unborn child as his own. He decides where and how the family will live. God offers guidance to Joseph in the form of dreams, and Joseph chooses to obey those dreams. The gospel goes out of its way to show Joseph following God's guidance to the letter. The mother of Jesus has a much more active role in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Matthew never challenges the patriarchy of the culture in which it was written. So in this Gospel, Mary never acts on her own, and she never even speaks. In the Gospel of Matthew, men make all the decisions for good and for evil. When the author of this Gospel writes of prophecies being fulfilled, he's not saying that all events are preordained and carved in stone. Human beings always make their own decisions. Because we're created in the image of God, we have complete freedom to choose love or to choose hate, to choose trust or to choose fear, to choose life or to choose death. Joseph chooses love and trust and life. King Herod chooses hatred, fear, and death. God allows us to choose our path, even when we choose a path that creates suffering for others. God has the power to spare people from suffering. God's wisdom dictates that God will rarely use that power. even if it means that babies will be murdered, and planes will fly into skyscrapers, and frightened mothers will be shot in their cars. God does not spare us from suffering, but God also does not abandon us to suffering. The Old Testament prophets taught that God rewarded or punished people according to their behavior. Today's words from the prophet Isaiah were written to encourage people after their exile in Babylon, when some of them had returned to their ancient homeland and were working to renew a sense of being God's people in the world. The passage says that even when forced to punish us, God never abandons us to our fate. God comes in person to rescue us in all of the distress of life. God may send angels to guide us, to encourage us, or to speak to us of God's plans, but angels will never be the source of our salvation. We are saved, Isaiah writes, which means we are made whole and healthy. We are given peace and prosperity by nothing other than the presence of God in our lives. Now, when it comes to God being the source of suffering and grief, Lutherans will disagree with the words of the prophet Isaiah. We teach that God is never the source of suffering, but that God can bring good out of any suffering that we experience. When Martin Luther read all of Scripture, he came to the understanding that God only offers us good gifts. He blamed the devil for all of the evil and suffering that we experience in life. Today's reading from Hebrews blames the devil for death itself and for our fear of death. The letter to the Hebrews reads more like a sermon than a letter. Its audience was a Christian community that was experiencing suffering because it had embraced the love of God and was now rejecting the hatred and the violence of the empire in which it lived. Hebrews begins by acknowledging Jesus as the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's being. It says that God created all things through Jesus, and that God has redeemed all things through the suffering and death of Jesus. Jesus may have been rescued from suffering and death as a baby, but not as an adult. He was spared when he had no agency, but as an adult filled with divine power, he chose to suffer and to die in order to deliver us from the power of suffering and death that is wielded by the devil. In today's passage from Hebrews, we get to listen in on a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. Using quotes from the Psalms and the book of Isaiah, Jesus identifies us as his brothers and sisters, as the children that the Father has entrusted to him. And as God in vulnerable human flesh, Jesus says that he places all of his trust in God so that he can be the pioneer of our faith. Jesus marks out a path for us, a path that leads through suffering to joy and through death to a true life that is abundant and eternal. And after blazing this trail for us, Jesus comes back to guide us as we walk the same path. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. It is our fear of death that keeps us from enjoying life to the fullest. The suffering and death of Jesus free us from that fear and allow us to join in the universal song of praise that is commanded in Psalm 148. All of creation is called to praise God. The angels and all the hosts of heaven, the sun, moon, and stars, the clouds in a beautiful sky, sea monsters and all the forces of weather, mountains and trees, animals, and almost as an afterthought, kings, princes, and ordinary people like us. The psalm concludes by saying that God is the source of our strength and God is the source of our praise. That's why every Sunday I sing the words, "It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times, good and bad, and in all places, peaceful and troublesome, give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God." And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, and in some seasons I add the words, with earth and sea and all their creatures, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. We praise a God who embraces suffering in order to free us from the power of suffering. Suffering continues to exist in God's good creation, but suffering does not have the last word in our lives. We probably don't like it, but it is not God's plan that we will be spared from suffering, only that we will not experience it without God walking by our side as Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter. God is never the source of suffering, but God can use even suffering to bring about good in our lives and in the world around us. So do we have a faith that allows us to praise God even in times of tragedy, difficulty, and suffering?